going to go through today is something that's definitely not new to most of us. It's been here for a pretty good while. It's about the commandments, and it's about the word guarding. But just like anything that we've ever done, is when we come through cycles and feasts and festivals, and as we have completed our Shavuot on Wednesday, we're starting a new cycle in our life. But a lot of times what happens is just like anything, when you plan and you build and you go and you do, once it all happens and it's done, it's really easy to let your guard down. It's really easy in our lives just to take a vacation or a break or whatever on the Father. But this is the time that you definitely don't want to do that, because this is definitely the time where the enemy can come in and he can mess up things. And that's just the way you've seen it over time in the Scriptures. And so I know that we talk about this after Sukkot when we get back. You know, it's just like we've mentioned it before. It's just like the Super Bowl. Once the Super Bowl is over, all the players want to party. That's all they want to think about. They don't want to think about football any longer. But the problem is, this is not a game. You know, what we're doing, this is life. And so as we come through one victory, whether it's a small victory or whether it's a great victory, we have to always get up the next day. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to always be mindful of guarding and protecting what he has for us. And that's why I wanted to go through this. So verse 1, right off the bat, it says this, the whole commandment. King James says all of the commandments, plural. This is the ESV. I don't know what yours might say, but mine says the whole commandment, and the word there is singular. But the whole commandment, anytime you see commandments, whole commandments, it's talking about everything. Now, we've gone through this. There are some commandments we don't keep today because they're temple dependent. There's some commandments we don't keep today because it's given to a king. There's some commandments that I don't keep as a man because they're given to a woman. You understand what I'm saying? But yet, if in all the parameters were there, we keep all of his laws and commandments. So you are keeping those, even though you might not can keep one, you're keeping it because of limitations. But the whole commandment that I have commanded you today, it says, you shall be careful to do. Now I want to read something here. I'll just had some of the other translations, because this word careful to do in the Greek is the word shamar. And what it means to guard, to keep, and protect. It means to guard and protect. This is important. NAS and ESV says this, you shall be careful to do. The NIV says to be careful to follow. NRSV says diligently observe. King James says observe to do. And the New King James says carefully to observe. The Stone's Chumash says you shall observe to perform. But none of them really in any of the translations from the actual word said guard or protect. And in our English way of looking at things today is to me, to be careful to do is not the same as guard and protect. To be careful and to do it is sort of a little bit weak. But to guard, if I asked you to guard something or to protect something, that has a stronger meaning to it. You know what I mean? It's a stronger meaning to it. Just like if you have a guy that's driving a Brinks truck, what are they doing? They're guarding what's inside. And don't you think if all of a sudden, if a guy who's driving a Brinks truck, sucking on his Mountain Dew, all of a sudden a couple of people get out dressed totally in black with masks, with AR-15s, don't you think he'll probably put the Mountain Dew down? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then he's going to be sucking on air. Because he is, am I seeing what I'm seeing? The whole, at that moment, there's a guard and protect that kicks in. But what the commandments wants us to do is have that mentality before the people get out with the AR-15s and the black mask. He wants us to have the always guarding and protecting the very commandments that he gives us. Because if you wait till that moment that they get out, most people are going to be flight and fright. Amen? They're not going to do, well, you're just not ready. So I don't want us, after we come through these feasts and festivals, as great as they are, that when we come through it, we're starting a new cycle and really a new count to Sukkot. I don't want us to let our guards down, that we need to guard and keep what he has told us to do, that you may live and multiply. He's telling us, because you know, by guarding and keeping it, you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that Yahweh swore to the fathers. Guarding is about action. That's really why I like this word guarding. Guard and protect. Shamar is an action word. You got to be on guard. It's an action. You don't just sit back and wait for something to come to you. You're proactive in guarding and protecting. That's what you do. How many people, if people here, and I know there's a handful of people in here, has chickens? They raise chickens. Do you usually build a fence? Do you usually build a coop? What are you doing? While you're sleeping, you need a way to guard and protect what's going on outside. Because guess what? That's when the critters come out. When the sun goes down, usually when you go to bed, the possums, the coons, chicken snakes, I don't guess they care. They just come on out whenever they feel that it's okay with them. But what I'm saying is guarding and protecting, you have to do something to protect what is yours. The next verse, it says, and you shall remember the whole way that Yahweh your Elohim has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. We've been doing this for 30 years. And I can tell you this, his laws and commandments and knowing and doing and the feast and the festivals and the Sabbaths and not Sabbath and not knowing if it's a Sabbath, is it a Sabbath rest or not, you know, was going on Sunday and all. The thing about it is we've been in a lot of ditches. I was telling, I think, Arnold the other day, and I've said this before, we've been in a lot of ditches. And a lot of times, until we came in Hebrew roots, we finally got on the road. But most of the time in our life, we were in one ditch, we crossed the road into another ditch. And we lived our lives spiritually in ditches. But at least we were heading in the right direction. Amen, we was heading in the right direction. And finally, when we ever came in Hebrew, at least we got on the road. Now we're all over the road, but at least we're on the road. Amen, and that's sometimes the way we do. Until finally you can, you know, as you go and as you go through these cycles, you finally get in the right lane. And at least you can stay within the yellow lines. Amen? So we see this, and this is the reason why I say this. You shall remember, faith is strengthened as we rehearse what Yahweh has done for us. That's how faith is strengthened. Bree, your testimony was perfect. But you know what? The thing about it is your faith is strengthened by what happened to you. Yes. Amen? Yes. And you know what? Our faith is strengthened by what happened to her and her son. Yes. And that testimony. Jan, what did she do? She pulled on that when that fear hit her. See, from Wednesday till Friday, Friday, all of this happening, faith, and as we go through these seasons, and this is Moses, Deuteronomy, he is now telling all, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're fixing to go into the promised land. As they're fixing to go into the promised land, he's reminding them to remember all that I've done. Remember what I did for you when you were coming out of Egypt. Remember all of the miracles. Remember when you grumbled and complained and I had to send the snakes. But how did I deliver you whenever the snakes came? The snakes come because it was your fault. That's what he's saying. But when you cried out, I gave you, I didn't take the snakes away. Did he take the snakes away? No. But he gave them something to look to be healed if they got bitten by the serpent. A lot of times in our lives, we do things, and the thing about it is, the Father may not take away the serpent. But what he may do is no doubt, he will give us a way out. He will give us a way that we can look to him to where if something happens, we can go and do and we can be delivered. This is why he's saying, remember the whole way that Yahweh led you these 40 years. Because he humbled them and he tested them. Guys, that's what he does to us every cycle. He brings things in our past to humble us and test us. To do what? To see if we're going to follow his ways or not. That's why it just happens. No matter what happens in our life, it's humbling. It's a testing that he brings to us for righteousness. Understand this so I'm not misquoted. It's like the book of James. He does not test you with evil. He don't test you. If you're in Mobile, Alabama, and there are certain clubs down a certain strip, Yahweh don't test you with those clubs down that strip. You're the one that found out how to get on that road. Amen? You were drawn away by your own lust enticed. That's how you got on that road. Yahweh don't test, but he tests us for righteousness' sake. He brings out his Torah to say, will you follow my ways or not? That's what he does in humbling and testing. Because this is what he's saying. Humbling and testing you to do what? To know what was in your heart. Guys, Scripture says the heart is evil above all things, and who can know it? You know what I'm saying? There's testings and all that because we think we know what's in there. I tell you right now, you don't know until the testings come, until the fire comes. But it's coming. It's always been here. It goes from different phases in our lives. And he says this, where you would keep my commandments or not. Every cycle we have opportunities through these testings. Verse 3, he humbled you. And you can put the word us in there. Amen. I put the word us in there for me when I was reading this. And he humbled us. And he let us hunger. I'm just going to put the word us in there. He says you, but he's pointing at us, okay? It's plural. That's right. It's a plural word. So I'm just going to make it more personal. He humbled us, and he let us hungry, and he fed us with manna. We talked about this a couple of Shabbats ago. The very manna that was given to the children of Israel was rained down from heaven every morning except on the seventh day. On Shabbat, it wasn't there. Yeshua said, I am that manna from heaven. I am the bread of life that was given for you. Amen? I am. This is why it happened. He fed the children of Israel. He's rained Yeshua in our life to feed us today. Amen? He feeds us with his word because Yeshua said, I am the word made flesh. In John. So he fed us with manna. He's fed us with Yeshua, which we did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone. Now this bread here is in a statement that man does not live by bread. This is natural bread. In other words, you know what he's saying? If you live by bread alone, you're a living dead man. That's really what he's saying. Because there's no natural way to get yourself into the kingdom. We have to have the true manna, which is Yeshua the Messiah, to get us to the kingdom. We have to accept him. That's what Passover was about. We have to make him our lamb. We have to know that we have to make him, we have to eat the manna that the Father gives us. And this is why he's saying, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by what? Every word that comes from the very mouth of Yahweh, the very breath, the very word. And Yeshua is that word. So here you see that there's no way that you're going to live it naturally. It has to be spiritually. I wrote down here in my notes, it says this. And let's go to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8, 26 through 28. I said, hardship comes so we can see the mighty hand of Yahweh. Hardship comes in our life so we can see his mighty hand at work. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us win in our weaknesses. Isn't that awesome? He tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. That's an awesome promise. That when we can cry out, Zedekiah, when we can cry out to him, that he will answer us. He helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We've been praying here today. We've been laying hands on people in here, believing by faith that they will receive their healing, they will receive their jobs, they will receive safety, they will receive a job to get you there and provisions. We've been praying for these things. The Spirit will help us in our weakness. But for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But again, guess what happens? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I feel like this so many times when I sit up here trying to find a word to tell you that makes sense, that can get you the depth of what I'm trying to convey. And that's a hard thing to do in an English language. But even in here, I see proof of that, that the Spirit Himself can intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. When I can't have the words that I can articulate, that I can think that I'm connecting and getting across, I can pray in the Spirit. And you know what? I can pray and the Father can connect with those deeper words. I'm thankful for that. That's what Shavuot is all about too, giving of the Spirit. 27, and he who searches the heart knows, now listen to this, and he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit. Can you imagine that? The one who searches the heart knows the very mind of the Spirit. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of Elohim. See, that's the reason why, you know, let me say it like this, talking to somebody earlier. Somebody's looking for a car. You know, the thing about it is, it's not just that you're trying to buy a car. You need discernment to find the right car. You need to find that way that when you find that car, it's not in the shop for 5 months, 6 months. You know, you can't find in the Torah. You can't find in there. And I know Doug and Caleb and a lot of them wish that it was there. Thou shalt buy a Chevrolet. You know what I'm saying? If they're driving something beside the Chevrolet, you better get ready for the trumpets fixing to blow. But the thing about it is, is really and truly, you don't know. You have your preferences, and it's great to have a preference. You like a Toyota, you like a Ford, a Chevrolet. I'll say Chevrolet and Ford in the same, you don't throw nothing. A Dodge, whatever. The thing about it is, it's not that. It's knowing that whatever, you need to make sure that it functions. Because the Scripture don't tell you exactly what to buy. But you know what? You can pray. You can pray for the best deal. You can pray in the Spirit that He gives you what you need. And that's important. There's nothing more aggravating. And I just use this one scenario. There's nothing more aggravating than spending money and you felt like that you just got hosed on the whole deal. You know what I'm saying? That's right. That's right. So this is why the Holy Spirit in praying, you know, me and Brian, we were talking about earlier. I think this was maybe last week. The thing about it is, and he made a great point. A lot of times when we're trying to make decisions, we lean to our own understanding when we make them. Do we fast and do we pray? Now, a lot of times we will pray, but we won't fast. And the reason why we don't fast is because it's the flesh. We would rather have the answer without the fasting and the praying. The praying's not really the hard part. We can give Him a 15-second prayer. Just being honest, a lot of them are about that long if you time it. Put a timer on there. Go in there and take that little thing in they don't have those little timers anymore. Go to your stove. You got cell phones. Yeah, go to your phone. I can't even operate my timer on my phone. Go to your phone. Set 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Do it tomorrow. Just say do it tomorrow. Set 5 minutes and let it count down. Start praying. For 4 minutes, you will be doing this. I'm just saying, being honest. Because we've not learned how to guard and keep, we don't know how to pray. We don't get in there, we don't know how to battle. You know, because what happens is prayer for most of us is when we need something to happen right now. It's a crisis. We're in crisis management. That's what happens. I'm just saying, do it. Set it for 5 minutes and get after it. And then if you're honest with yourself, it's not for anybody else to know. And you know what? Hallelujah. If you're blowing and going and that alarm goes off, punch, stop, and keep going. Amen. Don't stop. Just keep rolling. But you watch and see, a lot of times after about just a few seconds, we're out of words. We need the Holy Spirit interceding for us in our prayer life. Verse 28, and we know that for those who love Elohim, all things work together for good. And this is what he's talking about in Deuteronomy 8. He gives us this promise that if we love him, no matter what we're going through, all things will come out for good for those who are called according to his purpose. But you need to make sure that we're walking in his calling and his purpose. That's a promise that he gives to us. It's what Paul was ministering to him. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 4. This is very important. All right, now this goes back to what he said in verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way. Verse 4, what does he tell them? Your clothing did what? Did not wear out on you. For how long? For 40 years. For since they came out of Egypt, their clothes was new every day, is what I'm gathering. Because how far can it go and not wear out if you're wearing your same? And I can tell you that Tammy wasn't there. There wasn't 14 suitcases of stuff, amen? I couldn't find that picture. I had a picture one time where they had this donkey and this wagon, and they put all of these cargo in there, remember? And it picked the donkey up in the air, and he couldn't move. We'd have still been in Egypt. So we would have had to, but no, but what I'm saying is this, but think about how many garments did they have? You know what I'm saying? And it says this, their clothes didn't wear out. They walked everywhere. They didn't have Uber. And it said, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. These whole 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't swell. Well, that's right, 40 years of boot camp. That's right. Now, think about this now. Now, either this right here is encouraging or is it discouraging? It's all how you look at it. Because he's saying, you know what? For 40 years, I took care of you and I didn't let you down for a drop. And then you could probably say, well, why is he telling us now? Now is my clothes going to start wearing out? My feet's going to swell. What's going to start happening to me now as we go into the promised land? It's perspective. It's all how you look at it. But no, what is he doing? He's reminding them, even though when you go into the land and you're going to have plenty to eat, all of these things is going to happen, the manna is going to cease. And you're going to have to know not to freak out when the manna ceases. You got to know that you're going to have a change of clothes. You're going to have to know that even though I took care of you in the wilderness, I'm going to take care of you in the promised land. That's a faith walk, because guess what? When they were in the wilderness, they didn't have a lot of people to fight. But now they got to go in and possess the land. Now there's enemies in the land, and now they're going to have to trust that the Father is going to fight their battles for them, and they're going to have to go in there because they're going to have to remember something else. Don't be like the 10 spies that caused us to be out here for 40 years. Amen? Unbelief kept them in the wilderness for 40 years rather than going in and possessing. Same commandment, not a new set of rules. You're going to go in and possess the land. They came back and said, we can't do it. He said, okay, I'll give you what you want. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Okay, by your own confession, you're going to get what you've done. You're going to die in the wilderness. Everybody from 20 on up, you gone. Or 20 on down was good, and above that, however that goes. So here, by their own confession, they died in the wilderness. So guess what? Here comes the next generation. You're going in to possess the land. Moses is here trying to say, don't make the same mistake that your fathers made. Remember how he fought our battles for us. Remember how rebellions took place. Remember how people rose up against Moses and how he took care of everything. Yahweh takes care of everything. So your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't swell, your deodorant was good. I hope it was good. I'm just saying, I hope it was good. Hope they didn't all smell like camels. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, Yahweh Elohim disciplines you. Brad Scott did a teaching one time. I wrote down a little note here, what he said. I'm not going to go through the whole thing of Brad Scott, but I just remembered. Brad Scott said this. He says, we have to handle the commandments as a father handles his son. Listen to what I'm saying. We need to handle the commandments like a father handles his son, because you see all the way through the scriptures, especially in Proverbs, father, son, you know, children. He said, you don't handle the scriptures like two lawyers. If you handle the scriptures like two lawyers arguing over mere words, all you're doing is you're just confusing the whole thing. But he's saying that we need to handle the commandments as a father. And I thought that this was very fitting here because of what he said here in verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man, and that means as a father disciplines his son, Yahweh will discipline us. He wants this relationship. Verse 6. So you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim by walking in his ways and fearing him. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Start in verse 5. Yeah, Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11. I just thought that in this text, as I was reading and through scriptures, and I know how easy it is to get sidetracked. I know how easy it is to get sidetracked. I know how easy it is not to guard and to keep and protect. I know how easy it is to get tired. I know how easy it is to get going in other directions, and I don't give the Father the time that I need to give him. See, that was the whole word of the month at Rosh Kodesh. The whole word of the month at Rosh Kodesh was this, consistency. We need to be consistent in everything that we do. We have to be consistent. If we're not consistent, it causes huge problems for us in our lives. Do you know the reason why they made Z-Pack? Y'all know what these little Z-Packs are? What's these little, what is it? It's that antibiotic. You know the reason why they made Z-Packs? For people like me, who can't take a pill for 20 days, who will take an antibiotic for 7 days if I make it then, but if I feel good, what am I going to do? I'm going to stop because I'm not going to remember. So they make a Z-Pack because people that don't complete antibiotics cause problems, because now the germs and all that can end up with a resistance against antibiotics and we can get in trouble. But there's a lot of people like me that's not going to take an antibiotic for 20 days. Because if I get feeling better after day 3, 4, or 5, I forget. I feel good. Tom said he feel good. We feel good. Amen. And we're going to roll. And that bottle will sit there until it's out of date. And then about 3 years later, then I'm wanting to know if I could retake that. You know what I'm saying? That's how men are for the most part. Walking in his ways. All right, where are we at? 12. Tammy, would you read that for me? You got a mic. 5 through 11.
You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of Yahweh, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom Yahweh loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. Elohim deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
10 and 11 from the ESV, it says this, "For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good." This is why discipline is so important. Discipline has to do, because you know what? The Holy Spirit has a job. Do you know the holy angels have a job? And what is their job? To guard, to keep, and to protect. That's what their job is. We have that same job. Because he disciplines for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems what? Painful rather than pleasant. And you know what? That's what discipline is supposed to be. Discipline is to get our, that's the word, it comes from the word disciple. Discipline sometimes is painful. Because, and you know the only reason why it's painful? Because it goes against our flesh. You know, Doug Jr., I think you was telling me the other day about one of the little ones. I won't name the name. But Tara was doing some discipline, and I might get it a little wrong, but this is the essence of it. Either you will not get to watch this or do this, or you will get a paddling. One or the other. And I think what he ended up doing is, because he really wanted to watch or get candy or whatever it was, he took the paddling. You know what I'm saying? And it's so funny, because at the very moment, it was, I don't want a paddling amongst all things. But if I can't watch, or if I can't get to do this, or I can't get to go, the paddling don't seem so bad. So you start weighing the options, because of the way it deals with what? Your flesh. Because then he realized that if I don't get to do this, this is a long discipline cycle. The paddling is going to hurt, but it's going to be over with in a moment. But the thing about it is most of the time we don't like discipline in our life. I know I don't like discipline in our life, because it's painful. Because it goes against the flesh, and the flesh doesn't like it. But the Father, sometimes in our life, he has to bring the disciplines in our life, that because it says that we may share in his holiness. The very disciplines of giving his Torah is to keep us in the house, is to keep us as we can make it to the other side in our promised land in the days to come. It says this, but later it yields the peacefulness, or the peaceful fruit of righteousness, to those who have been trained by it. And we're going to close here. Here's the thing. Guarding, keeping his ways, discipline that comes in our lives, is for training reasons. Certain things in our lives, I'm just saying it, like it happens to me. There's a lot of things that goes against the flesh that we don't like. But yet, if the Father tells us by the whole commandment that we have to line up to it, it's for a reason, and that reason is to protect us. That reason is to keep us from falling off into a greater sin or greater problems. It's just like I said before. If you know that there's a place in a city that is not good to visit, the number one, don't even be tempted to look up where those places are. But if you're going to sit there and you're going to look up and be tempted where those places are, and then you're going to drive by it, sooner or later you're going to end up in one of those places. You see what I'm, it's a mind, that's why James says this, that whenever you sit and you meditate on it, then it's going to bear fruit. So don't even let that seed get there. What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? Adam did not guard and keep. He allowed the serpent, he allowed Satan to get in the midst of the garden. He allowed Satan to get in the very midst of the family. He did not guard and he did not keep. He did not protect. And then what happened? Who did the serpent go to? Went to Eve. Who was the commandment given to? Adam. Now Adam told Eve about it, no doubt. But the commandment was given to Adam. It was Adam's job, and that's why I believe, because it said at the moment that she took the fruit, and ate, she gave to him. So he had to be there. He wasn't on the other side of the island. You know what I'm saying? He's right there. And so he's sitting back thinking, evidently, this is just the way I see it. If he's sitting back there and the serpent and Eve is having a conversation and he's knowing what's going on, he's hearing this, but he's not stepping in when he needs to step in. If we don't guard and protect, if we don't shamar the commandments, let me tell you this. For me and my household, when do we start preparing for Shabbat? The first day. The first day we start preparing, because if you don't prepare, if you wait till the sixth day, if you wait till Friday to prepare, everything's going to break down. Everything's going to be a problem, and you're going to be running around, not being able to get everything like you need. Preparation is everything. That's why the Father teaches us in all the commandments, we need to prepare ahead of time. That's what this message is about today. We have to prepare ahead of time before something happens, before a crisis happens. Because I promise you, if you don't, you're not going to pass the test. Because he said he humbles us and he tests us. That's the way it is. Good intentions ain't good enough. That's what the Father spoke to me. Because everybody has good intentions. But why do we not follow through every time the Father tells us to do something? Because you know what? Good intentions is not good enough. Preparation of guarding and keeping is where it's at. Because here's what happens. If you really are guarding and keeping, the moment something happens, you will answer before you know it. You'll throw out the right answer. And you know what? You'll throw it out there. It might embarrass you, and you'll be trying to shove it back in your mouth, but it's too late. It's going to come out there. Because it's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens to the mouth? It speaks. If you've got this going on, when something happens, even though you might be embarrassed, the right thing will come out. But if you're not guarding and keeping, I promise you, embarrassment or whatever is going to cause you to withhold what you know you need to do. And that's a bad deal. And that's what he's teaching us here. Guard and keep. Let's pray. Father, I pray that in this message today, in this midrash, Father, that we would have the heart, just like what Dodi was saying. Three times within the first six verses, it says Shamar. For you to say that, and for Moses to bring it back to their remembrance, for them to have to be reminded to always know and remember how you so mightily showed up and gave them victories in their life in the past, that they would not forget, because they're going to have to tap into that. Their faith is going to have to tap into what you've already done for them to help them to fight bigger battles. Father, it's the same way with us today. You have helped us win battles time and time and time again. But they're always to build, because there seems to be always in our life, sometime or another, a bigger battle that we have to face. And if we don't learn to win the little ones, we will never overcome the big ones. We'll be just like Joshua. Joshua, here he was listening to you crying out and praying, and you gave him Jericho. But then he relied on his own strength. We can take Ai. They're just a small little group. I only have to send 3,000 people up there to get them. We don't even need to bother everybody else. And I don't even need to bother you in prayer. And they were defeated and routed to where he was ashamed through repentance because there was sin in the camp. Father, these stories are not written there just for history. They're written there to get our attention that we need to count on you in every area of our life. No matter how big the battle is or how small the battle is or whatever we need to do, you desire for us to call on you as your sons and children. So I pray, Father, that this day, that as we've come through these feasts and festivals from Passover to Shavuot, as now we're entering into getting ready for Sukkot, Father, that we would be very, you know, just as vigilant in guarding and keeping and protecting that we've ever been. Some of us has been through a handful of cycles. Father, we need to always know that we don't know it all, we don't have it all, we're growing, and that you will continue to be with us every cycle, every feast time, every Shabbat, that you teach us a little bit more, and may we walk and honor you in it. Father, today I just pray that this would resonate in our hearts and your people in Yeshua's name. Amen.
One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. And joy will be heard once again.